This is Author Talk, brought to you by Author House, the leading provider of services to help authors publish, promote, and sell their books. Author Talk is produced by TogiNet Radio, on the web at toginet.com.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Author Talk. This is J. Douglas Barker. I'm visiting today with Alfred Leonardchuk to discuss his book, Briex, Dead Man's Story. Alfred, welcome to the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
The last part of your book, which is 250 pages or 258 pages in length, you recount the day that you boarded a plane for Toronto. Boarding a plane to Toronto, you purchased an airport stationery pad, and you were beginning to reflect on this story that you've penned. And you begin to question yourself whether this story that you're about to recount or make notes on was fact or fiction. And assuming that dead people can't speak, how close to reality could this story be? And your response to yourself was, maybe I would never find the answer, and then you began to write. This story is based on fact. Is all of the content factual, or is there a measure of fiction also included in your story?
The story is facts. That means the Briex story, that was the biggest scam in gold mining industry ever. And that happened from 1994 to 1997. I know it because my company, which I was a chairman at that time, Minorca Resources, we had a financial interest with original owners of the property in Indonesia. We had operation in Indonesia. However, we never went to own the property. This is one of our property. And we never had a technical data. So can you imagine that you have a company which start at 25 cents and become a star on Toronto Stock Exchange, New York Stock Exchange for over $270. Now from nothing to over $6 billion. So of course that was every day the news and media was just talking about it. Now, I know the story. How was that built? How done well this company. However, in the end, when the mining company Freeport become a partner forced by Indonesian government to start operation, building or operation the mine, they've done due diligence to re-drill back some of the holes and they find it that there's absolutely no gold. This is gigantic hoax. So can you imagine all the collapse, all the fears, all the situation which went through every day in TV, in media, etc. was just the story of Briex. Now, this is not ordinary scam, not like Ponzi scheme or Madoff, etc. In this story, nobody ever was charged or sentenced. And the principals of the company are living quite comfortable life, including the supporters and bankers. And why? Because the main accusé, the main person who've done that, Filipino origin geologist with all his geologist teams, he commits suicide. He jumped from helicopter in Borneo jungle. So, after all the legal cases, everything finally, after 10, 15 years, was closed. The main accusé, the guy who made that, is dead. So no, the dead people have no value for the course. Now, why is my story dead man's story? Because one day, last year, 2012, in February, in Rome, when we have a place there, I met the man called Akiro Guzzo, who was interesting in me. I met him in one of the churches. I just went to visit it. And he invited me for lunch. So we spent the whole day, and he told me exactly the story of Michael de Guzman, the infamous geologist who jumped from the helicopter to the jungle, with all the details. How was that done? Who was responsible? How did it end? And how actually he allegedly died? Now, is this the Akiro Guzzo who telling me the story of somebody else? But this is Michael de Guzman, alias Akiro Guzzo today. You know, he did change. He's not the same. He's now not 40. He's 57. And we talking all day and all evening. Okay, we had a few glasses of wine. So that's why we, together with conversation, did create a situation in which we put ourselves in year 1997, how was done, how everything happened. And that's what, I cannot verify that. I cannot go through the files. I cannot go through the stories, what he told me. That is a part, is a fiction. I cannot confirm that this is a fact. But this is based on the facts. And today, we all will ask ourselves questions. Is that true? Is that magic? Is that just a story or fiction? However, the details of that story, the way how was all described by him to me, the way how we discussed, it's amazing. It's just fascinating. And all the previous reports, all the course reports, all the TV series, books, etc., were all off track. Nobody ever could imagine that what was done that way. That's why it's so fascinating. As I say, I have to write this story. This is too much.
Have you had conversations with Akiro since your meeting in Rome?
Oh, I cannot tell that at this moment. That will be part of another story, and it's in progress.
Perfect cliffhanger for an author to put out there for the listeners.
But this is true.
I'm sure it is. How long did it take you to get the facts together to publish this book?
I wrote some of my memories just before, but was nothing sensational. I just for my son, for friends, etc. Everybody was asking me to write the stories. But maybe more because I was very, very much connected in Indonesia, and because Indonesian government was forcing the company to give them 45% in that deposit. Well, can you imagine, 45%, it's not nothing. For 200 million ounces, you're talking 90 million ounces and $1,000 an ounce, make it math. This is humongous. This is extraordinary values. So you can imagine Suharto government, which this story was announced as a debt. That means that there's no gold. 3 months later, Suharto government collapsed. This was March and July, Suharto government collapsed. So all his cronies, all his military, all his police, etc., did have a part in this extraordinary story. All of a sudden, they went empty-handed. So a lot of people asked me to write the story because I did play golf with President Suharto, and I was invited there because they want to have some kind of intelligent knowledge about the situation of the Canadian mining, international mining, etc. And I do speak their language, so I was very liked by them and all those people. So I wrote that kind of memories. However, this story, I start to write, and after I say, well, I show my wife and talk about it, she said, no, we're living good life. Why don't you try to dig in that story? So then I talk with John Inc, who is a guru in gold and who was involved, who was my financier. He's got a Maison Placement in Canada and Brookage House, investment house in Toronto. And he said, tremendous, write the story. And actually he wrote me a testimonial about it. He said, this is phenomenal story. This is something what we're waiting for, because you disclose how actually was done, who did it, on which circumstances. And also, surprisingly, the personage, the character of Mike de Guzman is not corresponding to the description of all the previous statements about him. He had a double life and maybe triple life, and he was much smarter than a lot of people believe. So I took for me as a just a thinking that somebody who for 4 years can fool all the investment bankers, all the Wall Street, all the journalists, all the analysts, and make a gold deposit. You know, gold deposit is not treasure hunting. The nature has to build. Well, himself, he built a fake deposit. It's not a small one, and fool everybody in that. So he must be tremendously intelligent, well-organized, and yet nobody ever saw that way. And also, we have to also say one thing. From my story, nobody ever knew how much money was made and who was participating and who was really victims. Well, he described, that's been Makiro Gutsa, described extremely well participants, the organizers, the way it was done. So, you know, no one scam can made be by one person, even Madoff and Ponzi. They always start from modest sizes until vast participation of the supporters or give them, rich and famous status. So this was very similar, and nobody ever actually digged that side of the story. So that's why this is Dead Man's Story, represents kind of reflection that, we have to be aware for next story which will come like that. And the scams in financial market are coming and going and leaving many victims who in the end, don't know what's really going on. So in this, especially in this story, that nobody ever faced the charges. Nobody ever was sentenced. And vice chairman, the principal organizer of the company, is still alive very well, living in Cayman, and other supporters, etc. Because one man was sacrificed, died. Now, did he really die? That's what the story is. And I'm still amazing.
It is an amazing story. And the way you've approached this, it's as a narrative. It sounds or begins to read almost like a fiction. But then you realize this is based on facts. So it's not a research book. It's actually a story that will take you into the middle of it. It's wonderfully done. And gold has been a fascinating substance for centuries and millennia. And people are always fascinated by the lure of gold, and that's what enticed people. One of the interesting facts that you mention in here is that if all of the gold that had been mined in the history of the existence of the world, it would only fill two Olympic-sized swimming pools. Is that still accurate?
It's still accurate.
That's amazing.
You know, we don't mine that much gold now. Today, our production is going down. And the appetite and demand is growing. And we have to also say that after Second World War, we made probably around half of this gold production. But gold absolutely is fascinating metal and is used as a monetary system, is used as a hedge, is used as a reserve. And was used for generation also, you know, we're making wars, because of gold and sometimes the woman, sometimes some political reason. I was just back in Cartagena, and this is beautiful city, and I had a very nice conversation with officials of the Biennale and with the people, and I just told them, you know, this, you have beautiful, they were so proud, this beautiful city, etc. But this city was built because what? Because of gold. The Spaniards came there because there was gold there. And they didn't dig nowhere. They just dig in the tombs of Sino population who was living there before. And they just steal the gold from there. And it's still fascinating. So everywhere on the streets you have a jazz, you have a esmeralda and gold. So it is fascinating. It's not dying and will never die.
The story, Briex, what was the most unbelievable, in your mind, discovery that you made, or the most exciting scene that's in your book?
It's actually how all this began. Because everybody was thinking that the scam was kind of premeditated, organized, well organized by the officials of the company. Well, according to the story of Aki, that's absolutely not like that. That was amazing, and that was surprising even for me. I didn't see that way the infamous geologist Michael de Guzman. Everywhere he described as a very bad, nasty, scam organizer, lonely geologist walking in a jungle to trying to find his way and supporting by the financial scammers. That was absolutely not the same. That's a different person. That's also the facts of love, loveless family, and he's also some kind of dedication to his church because he was very religious. And that's nobody ever saw that. Neither me. I met him several times. And I had impression that she's just a toby, funny, womanizer, heavy drinker, and not well-organized person. But the other side, I'm an engineer. I know mining. I know geology. I was always thinking, you know, how come such a, how to say, marginal person could make such a phenomenally organized scam? And not in one overnight, over the years. With visits, all the analysts and media, and was even filmmaking, and government involvement, regulators, stock exchanges, financial companies, which have their own analysts, they have the best possible people in that business, they couldn't find anything. So I was amazed. I said, "Oh, I'm fascinated that this story, what he told me, it's." I rather buy that story than the story official.
I, in reading just what I have and overviewing of your book, think this would make a great movie. it's just fascinating that something of this magnitude could transpire and confuse and deceive so many. What is the underlying message you want readers to take away from this story?
Maybe the most important is for next generation. I have a son who is 26, and he's a assets management in very large company. They manage billions, and they manage billions of the money which don't belong to them. These are pension funds, these are mutual funds, those are government funds, etc. For those people, they have to watch. They have to be very aware. They have to make their due diligence. They cannot be so easily fooled by everybody else. The message is very easy that there's a next scam coming and next victims who are going to cry. So for me, and also we have to sometimes value the people in it. And no one scam was made by one person. So we, all industry, all the people, if we start to overbelieve, that's when we can get caught. So the message is, you know, I'm not here to making too much social messages, etc. I just want to tell the story, and the reader can just put message for himself and in his own way. But definitely is a fascinating to think that. You know, especially you can discover 200 million ounces gold with overnight disappear. It's like a magic, and nobody ever saw anything, and nobody's sentenced.
And yeah, no one was sentenced. That part Mm-mm. is fascinating. Thank you for sharing this insight on the story you have penned, titled "Briex: Dead Man's Story." Alfred Lenarchuk, thank you for joining me today, sir. Where can we get a copy of this book?
I will send you right now after this interview.
Thank you, Leonard. And where can other people get a copy of your book?
Well, they can have a copy everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere. Ebook, Otter House, everywhere you have that.
And you have some hidden cards. You're planning to write another novel or two. You've already written one. What's the next one on the project?
No, I'm partly retired, living a good life. And that was always my dream to become a writer, a journalist, historian. But, you know, I was born in Poland. That was impossible at the time. So I went to engineering school. And my father said to me, you know, you writing and history can be a hobby. You know, you have to have a bread and butter. So go to engineering school. But he was right. So, but now I'm 60. I still have a time to write. Yes, I have in this moment in preparation to eventually will be then the saga of it depend. And as you previously said, this is material for the movie. Yes, and this moment we are preparing the presenting that story to some scriptwriters and producers, etc. Yeah, I would love that to see that on the screen.
Well, I'll be second in line to view that movie if it ever gets produced. It looks like a wonderful story and a great read. 258 pages. The title again is "Briex: Dead Man's Story." Alfred Lenarchuk, thank you, sir, for joining me today.
Thank to you and to the all you listener.
For Author Talk, this is J. Douglas Barker.